It's time to have MLS Monday. This is where we look back to the weekend's action. We're joined, as always, on the show by our regular MLS expert, Drew Farmer. Drew, good afternoon.
Hey, it's good to be here, Andy. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, apart from the fact I'm looking out of my window at Elland Road. Got the football ground across the road, and it's tipping it down. So it's not the best weather for a Monday, to be honest, Drew.
No, it's not.
Now then, let's look back to Major League Soccer from the weekend and things generally in American soccer. And I've got to start with another debut. We were speaking last Monday about Steven Gerrard made his debut for LA Galaxy. It was pretty good, to be fair. What about Andre Pirlo this week? He made his debut for New York City.
He sure did. He came on in the second half for New York City FC in the 57th minute, and by that time, the game had already gotten going. New York City were already up 2-1, and they ended up going on to win 5-3. And he came on, and he really gave them, a calm presence there in the second half that they didn't have in that first half, and really showed something that I think a lot of teams in MLS don't have, that calm midfield passing presence, and New York kind of switched around from their the long ball that they had played in the first half to a more ground-based game. Not entirely, obviously, but he did help influence that a little bit in the second half.
Do you know, when it comes to the likes of Pirlo and these other players who've been imported to Major League Soccer over the last 18 months or so, is it a case of now they're on a similar wavelength to each other? Because what you can get sometimes is if a player from a particularly higher level comes in, they're always thinking that bit further ahead than the players who are with them, so they might put a great ball across the top which the winger didn't run for or something like that. Now the fact that there's more of these experienced European players over there, is less of that happening? Is it a more joined up style of football they're bringing?
I think it can have a lot of influence on making the players around him a lot better. A lot of these players, they haven't played with the likes of a Pirlo or a David Villa, so I think that can really improve the game that these other players around them are playing, and overall help it in the future. Some of the things I always wonder is with more of the coaching. For example, you've got some of these coaches like New York City's Jason Kreis, who was a career MLS player, and now he's the head coach of New York City FC. And I just wonder what it's like with those two minds, in the changing room and talking tactics. You know, what has Jason Kreis done with his career that Andrea Pirlo hasn't? Who do you follow out on the pitch? Do you follow what Jason Kreis is saying, or do you follow more the example that Andrea Pirlo is setting out there? So I always wonder about the conflict between coach and these top level players.
I suppose, though, when you get these top-level players coming in and they're on the higher wages than everybody else, I suppose you are going to be influenced by them. And when you see a world name like Andre Pirlo coming in, you would be influenced by him and Stevie G. Another name, Drew, which we've been talking about on the show for the last couple of weeks. In fact, to be honest, we started this this rumour first about 6 weeks ago. Didier Drogba to the MLS. Now, I want to ask you about this because transfers in Major League Soccer, and I like MLS, but they work differently to how football transfers seem to work here. My understanding, at least, Drew, and hopefully you can clear this up for me, it's almost as though the league owns the players and then the local team gets the rights to that player. Am I along the right sort of lines with that, Drew?
You're basically on the right lines there. It's all been a way to kind of keep the league healthy and going, where the league basically pays out the players. Obviously, they're delegated to a certain team. Now, Drogba, we've heard about him coming to MLS, and some of the rumblings are that it's very close. Now, I wrote an article last week for WorldSoccerTalk.com about Drogba fitting in with Chicago Fire, but it looks like right now that deal may be off and he might be on his way to Montreal. Now, the thing about this is that Chicago, who was the first team to negotiate, they have slapped a label basically on Drogba saying that they have discovered him. Now, obviously, he's a 37-year-old player. They've obviously not discovered him, but it basically means that they were the first team to talk to him. Now, Montreal can negotiate. However, before they can sign him, they will now have to pay Chicago Fire a fee before they can take him on and add him to their books. I believe the fee is somewhere, it's not a very high fee, it's about $50,000.
But in theory, you as an MLS team could go to everybody in the world and put this kind of discovery tag on them. So as soon as anybody else is transferred to Major League Soccer, they owe you 50 grand. I take it there's a limit to the amount of these you can actually have as a team.
Yeah, well, there's all these different mechanisms within the league that allow teams to basically have the rights to certain players and to trade those rights. And you get really into these mechanisms that allow teams to acquire more money to pay players for the salary cap. Now, last week we talked about the salary cap in Major League Soccer. And just to clarify that this season, the salary cap is just under $4 million U.S., and that is for all players outside of the designated player tag, such as the Andrea Pirlos and the Frank Lampard.
Okay, well, to take us away from transfers then, to something which was making the headlines last week, and I've got to be honest, this amused me greatly. Some of the fixtures when Premier League teams, as part of their tour, were heading over to America. There was the game where, if I remember right, Portland beat Newcastle. I think it was 4-3. And then the one that really took the headlines was New York Red Bull 4, Chelsea 2. And we were hearing over here that really was a reserved Red Bull side as well. I think a 16-year-old scored a goal because 30 hours earlier they'd had competitive action. I bet, though, in Major League Soccer, there were people almost in disbelief at some of these results.
Well, first off, I don't normally read too much into these summer friendlies, and a lot of the times it's just to make some money and to help the profile of the club. But at the same time, New York's, the Red Bulls were coming off of a midweek fixture in the U.S. Open Cup. Now, the U.S. Open Cup is the USA's version of the FA Cup. They had come off a loss in the U.S. Open Cup. They didn't have a lot of fresh bodies, so Coach Jesse Marsh had to go to his reserve sides, and the Red Bulls do have a youth team that plays in the third division of U.S. soccer, and he was able to call up players from there. Now, you're correct, they did have a 16-year-old defender, Tyler Adams, who scored in the game, and the Red Bulls, surprisingly, pulled off a bit of an upset there, 4-2 against Chelsea. And again, I wouldn't read too much into it. Obviously, Chelsea are just starting their summer, getting on to the Premier League soon. And the Red Bulls, they've been playing since March, so I wouldn't necessarily read too much into it because there's always one or two of these every year.
Well, what about the coming weekend for MLS? How are things looking over in America? Any big fixtures to look out for?
Looking at this weekend's action, there are some big fixtures coming up this weekend. We've got, obviously, during the middle of the week, we do have the MLS All-Star Game, so we can't forget about that. Of course, Andy, Tottenham Hotspur will be playing the U.S. All-Stars, the MLS All-Stars, sorry. And Frank Lampard will be missing out still through injury, a calf injury. But some of the big fixtures that we have will be Sporting Kansas City, as I've said before, my home state club in the U.S. They'll be taking on Houston Dynamo, who are coached by Owen Coyle, former Bolton manager. Houston coming off a big win over LA Galaxy over the weekend, thumped them 3-0. But also you have DC United and Real Salt Lake. DC United top of the Eastern Conference, and Salt Lake are putting together a few wins right now as they get going.
One final thing. I was going to kind of finish there, but you've brought Owen Coyle into the conversation. I thought it was very interesting when he went to Major League Soccer. Houston Dynamo, the team he's with, they're not doing brilliantly this season. Western Conference, they are 8th out of 10. How do you think he'll be finding his first year at MLS level?
Well, they are on 27 points right now. They're only, I believe it is, 5 points away from a playoff spot. So still a lot of games to play. They can still find their way in there. You know, MLS is a league, it's a lot like the championship. A lot of teams beat up on each other. They just try to get into some position for the playoffs. Once they get into the playoffs, that's a cup tournament. It's a knockout tournament, again, like the championship at the end of the season. And once you get there, anything can happen. Not always does the team with the best record at the end of the season, the most points, they don't always win the MLS Cup at the end of the year.
Okay.
I think Owen Coyle, you know, he's putting together a team. It's, again, MLS a lot different than English football with the way a team can be assembled. So, you know, probably a lot of good things this year, and some things to work on for next year.
Okay, Drew Farmer for now. Thank you very much. Really interesting catching up with you about Major League Soccer. We'll have MLS Monday, of course, back on Radio Yorkshire next week. If you want to find out more about Drew, you can follow him on Twitter at Calcio Farmer on there. Right, let's get back to the music. This is Circa Waves. It's My Love.